welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your hosts, me, Raylene, and...
Me, it's Ariel. Thank you.
Hello. What an introduction. Yes, we are here for another recommendations episode. The last episode we did was really long and really fun, and we are now ready to do another one. We've got the energy. We're here. It's happening.
We took a water break. We fueled up with some new fresh water. We're ready.
Feeling good. Feeling good. We've got some really fun recommendation requests today. One about the sun, which is exciting. So that's something to look forward to. It doesn't sound exciting, but trust me, it is. So, I mean, unless you've got anything else to say, without further ado, we may as well jump right in, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I do have one little thing to say.
Okay.
When this episode comes out, it will be December 5th. So,
oh, man.
I know, because today we're recording, it's November 21st. I feel like I said that with a U instead of an O, November instead of November. November. But it will be December, which is kind of, I just want to acknowledge that it's kind of shocking that when this comes out, we're only a month away from 2022.
That's true. So we'll have our, 2021 kind of review/wrap-up coming up. In the next couple of weeks, I guess.
Oy. Yes. Wow. I love that episode. That episode's really fun because we'll have an episode near the end of the year that will talk about like the best books we read and all these different categories and stuff like that. And then there will be another episode that comes out at the beginning of 2022 where we talk about our plans, our goals. Yeah.
I love it.
The most anticipated books and stuff like that. So look forward to that. But also, I should be intelligent. Today is December 5th. If you're listening to this the day it comes out, and you still have 10 days to submit a voice clip for our Eileen book club. So if you are participating in our last book club of the year and you want to send us a 30-second clip with a question, a favorite quote, whatever, send it to booksunboundpodcast@gmail.com and use the subject line Eileen voice clip. All of the details are also on the website, booksunboundpodcast.com. Cool.
Solid.
Nice. Did it, Raylene.
Very nice.
That was good.
That was really smart. We forgot about the book club in the last episode, so that was really smart of you.
Yeah.
You're on the ball.
Thanks, man.
I am not. So, yes, let us jump in. May as well start right at the top of our list here. We got a recommendation request from Kaya, who says, "Hi, I love reading books about characters from diverse backgrounds who have lived experiences that I don't have or will likely never have. I find it fascinating, and it helps me learn about other people's perspectives and understand them better. Could you recommend a book you read that was as far from your lived experience as possible? I don't mean sci-fi or fantasy, but rather books with real-life settings and characters that are just very different from your own life. Bonus points if it's a memoir or otherwise based on a true story. Love the podcast." Thanks, Kaya. That's a great one.
Thank you.
I love this question.
That's cool.
What did you pick for this?
I'm excited about the book I picked for this, actually. I picked Banned Book Club.
Ooh.
By, there's three people on the, I don't know who did the coloring, the lettering, and the writing, but we've got Kim Hyun-suk, Ko Hyung-joo, and Ryan Estrada. So this is based on the true experiences of Hyun-suk, or Suk. It says that she shares her dramatic true story of political strife, fear-mongering, and the death of democratic institutions and the relentless rebellion of reading on the back. So this is, I get the bonus points. It's based on a true story and it's kind of a memoir, but it is a graphic novel. I really enjoyed this. I think I read this last year, right? I don't think I read it this year. I don't remember.
No, definitely not this year. Yeah. It was last year.
So it would have been last year. This is a really cool book about a book club. So it's set in 1983 in South Korea. And basically there's a lot of censorship going on. There's a lot of suppression of protesters going on. And, the main character is the person actually telling their story, Kim Hyun-suk. She is kind of innocent, you know, like sort of an innocent kind of young woman going to university, not really expecting much. And then she gets involved in this banned book club where they read banned books that like are illegal to read in South Korea at the time. And like the books on the back, it says Moby Dick, Hamlet, and the Scarlet Letter, or like those are the ones she expects to read. But in actuality, they're reading these, like, you know, books about democracy and stuff. And it gets spicy, you know, it gets intense because it's illegal. It's like genuinely illegal. So this was a really cool book. I think it's a really good book for any age because it's a graphic novel. It feels like super readable and fun and like easy to go through, but it's about banned books and censorship. So I think anyone could read it. I enjoyed it as a whatever 26-year-old when I read it. As for what our person asking the question was, who was it? Who asked this question?
Kaya.
Kaya, thank you. As for what Kaya is asking, there's so many differences between me and the main character here. Mm-hmm. But I think the main one that I'm trying to point towards is the idea of growing up in a country that doesn't have this freedom of expression and freedom of speech and freedom to read whatever you want and freedom to assemble and freedom to protest like Canada does. We are so lucky to live in Canada. Is so cool. Like when it comes to our levels of democracy and our types of freedoms, we can do whatever we want. Do you know what I mean? Like the idea that we can just protest and like the government is just like, we respect your right to protest, obviously with exceptions and nothing is perfect. But for the most part, we are so lucky to live here. And it really puts that into perspective when you read books like this.
Yeah.
When you're like, right, this is a world where carrying a certain book could land me with a death penalty. Right? Like that level of censorship. Exactly. That level of censorship is something we just don't know here in Canada. So it's definitely eye-opening. And it makes you think about how lucky you are to live in certain places or what is fair and what isn't fair. Wow. Yes. Great book.
Very good.
You next, Raylene.
Okay. The book that I wanted to recommend is one that I actually read recently. Didn't talk about it in the last episode because I wanted to use it for this episode. Haha. Yeah. So I actually read four
Clever.
Books. Oh my God.
Wow. That's pretty that sneaky. Is... Look at you
I
go.
I am a sneaky little
That's
kind of
cool.
This is another one I listened to on audiobook, and it is We Have Always Been Here by Samra Habib.
Cool. I've seen that cover so often lately.
Yeah. This one is a memoir. So similarly to yours, it is a true story. So we both get the bonus points. And this book is about Samra Habib and her family. They lived in Pakistan and they ended up moving to Canada, actually, when Samra was, I'm not sure exactly how old she was, but let's say maybe around 10. She was a young child. She came here and then was going to school in Canada and, cool. you know, having to learn English and kind of speak for her parents when they didn't know English yet and all that kind of stuff. So there was that whole side of it. But also she is queer. The whole memoir is about, like, it actually says a queer Muslim memoir on the front of the book. So her experience is different from mine in so many ways. And other than her living in Canada, that's the only similarity we have. Like, she grew up with such a more intense upbringing. And I mean, the fact that she was able to come to Canada from Pakistan was a great thing for her family, because living in Pakistan was not good. I'm sure. There's probably still lots of issues there.
Yeah.
But she grew up, and also her family is they're Ahmadi Muslim. And so they had to hide that. I don't know much about the Muslim community and like what that means. But they had to hide who they were and pretend that they were not Ahmadi Muslim because it endangered them. So she lived in a much more high stakes kind of situation than I've ever even, you know, come close to. So I thought this was a good recommendation for something completely different from what I've ever experienced.
Yeah, so, totally.
And it was a really good memoir too. And it follows her throughout her teenage years and when she becomes an adult, and having to hide the fact that she's queer from her Muslim family was also a huge thing, and kind of discovering the queer Muslim community, which is totally a thing, which is very, very interesting. So
that is really cool. Once again, like the idea of being in a country where you have to hide your religion is so crazy. Different from our understanding of a country, because obviously we're so lucky that I'm not saying that Canada doesn't have discrimination. Obviously there's discrimination and there are instances.
It's a melting pot of many different cultures and religions. Right. And
we get everything. This situation where we have so many different religions, and it's never occurred to me that like people would be prosecuted for their religion here. Oh man, God, and I think about that sometimes, really. And it was just a lottery. We could have been born anywhere. Woo!
Right? I know. Well, and actually, another thing I just remembered from this book, too, is that when Samra was 14, her parents arranged a marriage for her, and she had nothing. She had no choice. She got married as a teenager, want to, someone who's much older than her, and basically had no rights at all. So that was another thing.
Did she have to go through with the marriage? Is she married to that person?
No.
Okay.
No, she went through with the marriage, but she managed to, I'm not sure if she ever officially divorced or what happened, but she did move on and have a different relationship later in her life.
Did that marriage happen while she was living in Canada?
Now that I'm thinking about it, I think she must have been a bit older when she moved to Canada, because I'm pretty sure that all happened in Pakistan.
Right.
She spooky. May have been a teenager when she moved to Canada. Yeah, because I can't imagine. I mean, that may have happened in Canada, though. I'm not sure. I can't remember the details at this moment. Whew, but
spooky.
Either way.
Spooky. Okay, that was a really cool question. And as always, we'll be posting photos of the books we talk about on our Instagram. Mm-hmm. So it'd be fun to hear from everyone listening. What is a book you've read from somebody who's lived a really different life than you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Whew. All right. You want to read the next one from Shania?
Yeah, I sure do. If I had my stuff together. All right. This next one comes from Shania. Also, this is fun. Whenever people submit requests to the podcast, we also ask for you to give us a 3 or 4 word synopsis of what you're asking, because it helps us to be able to sort through them. And it's just so beautiful. Shania wrote Language of Flowers. Love that. Beautiful. So tempting.
I really love that.
Shania says, "Hi, beauties. Sorry, but this one is going to require a little bit of research. I want you to tell me your favorite flower, or just one you think is really pretty. Look up the meaning of that flower, and then tell us a book that relates to it." And she gives us an example. Her favorite flower is a daisy. Which represents innocence. And so I would recommend Room by Emma Donoghue. Hope that makes sense. Obsessed with the pod, with love from Australia.
Makes perfect
sense. We love this one, Shania. Thank you for sending it. Also, I love your name. That's an awesome name. Shania, I'm obsessed with that. All right, what's your favorite flower? This is kind of cool. Do you have a favorite flower?
I love this one because it has levels. Oh, yeah, definitely. Cool. This one came to me right away, but it was fun because I didn't know what the meaning behind the flower was until I looked it up because of this. My favorite flower is the sunflower. I absolutely love sunflowers.
A classic.
They're just so beautiful, and I love a field of sunflowers. There's nothing better than that. So I looked it up, and sunflowers symbolize loyalty and adoration thanks to the myth of Clytie and Apollo, which I had never heard of before this. But
amazing.
Loyalty and adoration. So this one, I picked two books because the first one is, I feel like, fits the loyalty and adoration part, but is kind of like a weird choice. So I picked another one as well. So the first book I picked is You by Caroline Kepnes, because the main character, Joe, oh man, does he ever know loyalty and adoration? He finds a woman that he just falls in love with immediately, and he does everything within his power to get her. Yes, it's a scary book. He is a stalker and a bad guy, but I felt like
it is a form of loyalty.
It is a form of loyalty. Gosh, does he ever adore this person? So that was my first choice. But then I decided to pick another one that I feel like is just like a better book about loyalty. And that is The Outsiders by S.E. Hinton.
Oh, this book. Yes.
Because it's about a group of brothers and friends, people who stick together no matter what. And you know, through thick and thin, they will do anything for each other. They're all teenagers and in their young, 20s, but they're just so connected, and their loyalty is amazing. And yeah, that's really what the core of the book is all about, is the loyalty between these people. And I love that. So That is my sunflower book.
I love that. How long have sunflowers been your favorite flower? Has it like always been a thing or?
No, I really used to like tiger lilies. That used to be my favorite flower.
Are beautiful. I wrote.
They are beautiful.
I think either my first or second NaNoWriMo novel, the main character was called Tiger Lily. That's just a fun fact for when I was 16.
That is a fun fact. So I would say that was my favorite flower up until, I don't know, maybe when I was a teenager. And then just over the past like long while, I've just really felt connected to sunflowers. So I don't know. It's been a while.
It's beautiful. I love that. I recently found out that probably it was like a whole year ago now, but that my dad's favorite flower is a sunflower. And that makes me so happy. I don't know, there's something about that that kind of makes me want to cry, but that's awesome. Okay, beautiful. Well, my favorite flower is, God, it really disturbs me. The name of it, I hate the fucking name flower.
Is it Venus flytrap?
No, it's worse than that. It's baby's breath. I hate that name. I don't know why it's called that. I wish it wasn't called that. But do you know that flower, Raylene? Do you know the one I'm talking about?
I've definitely heard of it. I'm going to look it up because I don't remember what it looks like.
Yes, please do look it up. I have always loved this flower and I didn't know that it was a flower. I thought it was like a thing that came along with flowers or like a weed that just commonly was around, but it's own thing. It's tiny, tiny little white flowers and you get like a lot of them in a little thing. So it kind of looks like a little cloud or I don't know. It's just, to me, it's so, so beautiful. I really love these flowers and they also look really beautiful when they're dry because that you get, just looks almost like a cherry blossom tree, a little like a mini one.
I also love cherry blossoms. So yeah.
So this has been my favorite flower for as long as I can remember them being a thing. And I'm, like you've said, I never looked up the meaning of them.
Yeah, what do they mean?
Oh, and we were just talking about Sense and Sensibility in Books on Bucket last week. And in that book, she is given a book about flowers and their meanings. Oh. And I think that also happens in Cranford, maybe. It doesn't matter. But anyways, back then, flowers and their meanings was such a big deal. Like, it was like, oh my God, I'm going to specifically give you this specific flower because I'm trying to convey this specific meaning, you know?
That's true. I've heard of that with roses and stuff. Like, that's a big thing where it's like a white rose and a yellow rose and a red rose all mean different things.
Yellow rose is this other thing. Exactly. So anyways, I think it's interesting that kind of doesn't really seem to matter anymore, except that when I looked up my flower, kind of makes sense why it is what it is. So the main thing that it says that baby's breath symbolizes is everlasting love.
Oh,
and that came up in a lot of different pages, and I'm gonna trust the farmersalmanac.com because that's pretty legit. Since Farmers Almanac since 1818, if they're telling me that it's the symbol for everlasting love, I'ma believe them.
Gosh darn it, it is.
But it says that the fact that it's everlasting love is a reason why it's very popular in weddings, because it's often like in the bouquet and in other things because it's pretty and it kind of fills out the bouquet.
Yeah.
So now, guys, I'm struggling. I don't know what book to pick for this, honestly, because I need a perfect romance and
Twilight.
And I don't
everlasting.
Read Everlasting, yeah. I don't read enough romances, I guess, to have read one that I'm like, this is, yeah. So the one that came to mind, I'm sorry, it's like super dumb, but it's the one that came to mind, and it is Elixir by Hilary Duff.
That's hilarious. I thought you were going to pick a Jane Austen novel.
Jane Austen.
You picked Elixir. But go on. Please explain.
Well, listen, I wanted to pick a Jane Austen as well, but I guess I could pick Persuasion. Okay, I'm going to talk about Elixir, but then I'm going to talk about Persuasion. Okay, Elixir, I needed to pick this for a specific, it came to my mind for a specific reason.
Okay.
It's a book about soulmates and reincarnation.
Oh, okay. That
you know? Sense. So I'm trying to remember what the hell's going on here. And like reading this, synopsis, and it truly does not make any sense whatsoever, but what's going on here? But God, I'm sorry, it's just so funny. It says Elixir by Hilary Duff, and then in tiny font, with Elise Allen. I'm like, ah, Hilary, you didn't write that book. No. But yeah, anyway, it's about reincarnation, and I feel like that is everlasting love, right? If you keep coming back and you have to mm-hmm. keep finding that soulmate and keep loving them, that's everlasting love. The other book I could do for that is what was the name of that book? Juliet Immortal. Yes, that's another cheesy YA book about reincarnation and soulmates. Are there any soulmates books that are for adults? Soulmates reincarnation book, adult.
The Time Traveler's Wife.
Yeah, there's one.
There's another one for you.
Anyway, that would be cool. But now let me talk about Persuasion, because it's probably the one I should have chosen. The problem with the other Jane Austens is that they don't feel like everlasting love. Like, they kind of have to be convinced into the love. There's problems with the love, and it's sort of, you know what I mean? So it doesn't feel
more like a rom-com situation where it's kind of like...
Yeah, they like fall into it, or they have to get over through an obstacle. The difference with Persuasion, which is my favorite Austen, is that the whole concept of the story is that our main character, Anne, fell in love with Captain Wentworth when she was like 18 or something. He proposes. Her family is like, no, he is a poor nothing, do not marry that guy, you have way better like, you can do way better than that, and prospects, way better prospects. And so she is persuaded to say no to him. There's the title. And 9 years later, she regrets everything. She has never loved anybody else. She completely regrets saying no to him. She misses him all of the time. She hates that she let herself be persuaded. And she doesn't know what happened to him. She just knows that she's very sad. He then comes back. And that's like the catalyst of the book. It's he's back and she still wants him. But does he want her? Yes, they get together in the end, obviously. but I guess that's sort of everlasting love, because they had to go through this big
trials decade, and tribulations.
This decade of being apart, but they still loved each other. Ugh.
I think that works. That's beautiful.
Now I'm on this Reddit page that says non-cheesy books about reincarnation, soulmates, etc.
Well, I'm intrigued. Is there any like a standout book that...
Well, someone says Cloud Atlas. Someone says IQ84. Is that true?
Yes. In a way, I would say it's not like 100% that, but...
Someone says...
It's there.
The First 15 Lives of Harry August. I've definitely heard of that book before, but I don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
Ooh, The Gargoyle by Andrew Davidson. Didn't you just buy that?
No, but that's a book I could see myself, like, I've seen that book so many times over the past like decade, and I've thought so many times, I should probably read that book. Like, it seems like a book
The one that people replied to the most. Somebody says, seconded, it's a book that definitely sticks with you. Plus one to this one.
I will keep an eye out for it. If I find it at a thrift store, I will buy it. I'll keep you posted.
Okay, cool. Because
it does, it's just one of those like kind of general fiction, like book clubby books that have just been popping up in my life for a long time.
That's such a good way to put it, book clubby book. Yeah,
that
book was really popular.
It's like, came out in 2008. I'm sure a lot of people read it for a book club.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, the next recommendation request comes from KJ, who says, "Hello, dear friends. I love reading books so very much, but I also love writing them. One day, I hope for my own book to be on a podcast, maybe even yours. If I were to write a book, what are three elements you would want to see in my book? It could be plot, character ideas, symbolism, genre, anything your heart desires. Thanks so much. I love the idea that we could be choosing a book that will be written, that we could potentially read one day, and
it's
chosen by us." Like, that is very meta. Can you imagine? That would be so cool. So,
yeah, that would be amazing. KJ, we are rooting for you. And don't let the crazy things we're about to say impact your creativity, okay? Live your dreams and do your own things. But we thought this was a really fun question. And
it is fun.
Yeah, we definitely wanted to answer it. Should we go back and forth with our ideas?
No, I think that might be confusing. I think you should start. What are the elements that you... I have a very specific vision for my book, so it's kind of like it all goes together. You start. Well, then. So sorry.
Very well. Number one, a great first line. So important. Ooh. I need an excellent first line. That for me is, I mean, it sets the entire thing off on an awesome foot. So that I'm already jazzed about the book. You've already convinced me. I'm already on your side. I'm on your team. And I guess you could package into this like a great title. A great title and a great first line. I think those two kind of go together. Okay. The second thing. Something mundane turned upside down. So that's I was cool. thinking about the books that both we've really enjoyed on the podcast, but also just books that I've really enjoyed myself. And a lot of them have this theme of like, there's just something normal, but it's somehow weird, right?
Yeah.
My Year of Rest and Relaxation is a good example of this.
Yes, definitely.
It's just a girl who's trying to sleep. Like, that's very mundane. But boy, is that book so strange, and it really turns that whole idea upside down. Convenience store woman is obviously the other big one that comes to mind. You just have a woman who's working at a convenience store. Like, that's pretty mundane. But if you read that book, it's so twisted and feels so spooky.
Yeah, it's eerie.
So I think, because also, I guess it kind of elevates your own life. If you feel like you're reading something that is plausible, like a person just trying to sleep for a year, or a person that works at a convenience store, but it feels a little off or a little bit magical realist or a little bit spooky, it just makes it all so much more exciting. It's like a little bit of a level up from just being like a contemporary novel.
That's a very good way of putting it.
And then the third idea I had here, and this is very personal to me, so maybe it won't be compatible with the things you're about to say. An interesting take on social media. That, for me, is an element in a book that can really entice me and pull me in. It doesn't have to be the main theme of the book. It doesn't have to be super explicit. It doesn't have to be, like, everything about it. But if there's some sort of thing, I don't know, I just think that it's such an important part of our lives. It's affecting our lives a lot. It's affecting who we are, how we think about ourselves, our friendships, almost every element of our lives. But I rarely read about it written well. Like, usually it comes off as cheesy or weird or outdated. I don't know if it's, maybe it's impossible because we're too in it, but I'd love that kind of stuff. Obviously, a lot of my favorite books, So You've Been Publicly Shamed, obviously that's nonfiction, An Absolutely Remarkable Thing. Like, a lot of my favorite books have to do with social media and thinking about it deeply.
Yeah.
Fun.
Very cool.
What did you pick?
Well, it's interesting. You saying that that might not be compatible with what I was about to say made me realize that we were supposed to be giving elements for the same book, which I never even considered. In my head, totally we're going to have two completely separate books.
Love it.
That KJ is going to have to write for both of us. So, so sorry, but mine is kind of like not the same as what you're talking about. Okay. So my first element is I would want it to be a coming of age story, but with a younger character.
Oh.
More like 11 or 12 age range rather than being like 16. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because I feel like I'm sure there are lots of books like that, but I don't know what they are. And I would like more books like that, because I do connect to that. Because, you know, being, say, in middle school, like thinking about going to high school and stuff, like there's a lot of things going on in a person's life at that age. And I like that kind of character. So that's my first thing. My next element is I think it would be cool for it to be not entirely contemporary, like for there to be some magical realism. Oh, that's aspects.
Similar to my second one.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like, you know, kind of fairy tale-esque in some ways. Like, I think that would be cool to kind of mix that together. Yeah, or like spooky. I was thinking kind of like Coraline almost, but not like, you know, somewhere, something like that's kind of the vibe I'm thinking potentially. And my last element that I like is for to have focus on family and friendship rather than romance. Obviously, if you're, the character is 11 or 12, that kind of is goes without saying. But something that I've noticed a lot in coming of age stories is the parents are just non-existent a lot of the time. And a lot of the time the characters are just thinking about romance or whatever. A huge element in like YA books is kind of where that's coming from, I think. But yeah, so I think for it to have lots of focus on family and friendship and just be about that would be really nice. And I realized when I said all of these, like I wrote all of these elements down for myself, I was like, that kind of sounds like Spirited Away a little bit.
Oh my God, you're right. Yeah.
And that's my favorite movie. So I think that that's why I...
Spirited Away.
Exactly. I want something that has the same vibes as Spirited Away and like growing up while still being very young. Like the main character in that movie is very young, but she goes through such a huge growth from like the beginning of the movie to the end. She's a completely different person. And I just love that. And it's just beautiful and has like fairy tale vibes and is kind of magical and kind of spooky, but... also completely mundane in certain ways, like, you know, it's just about a girl who lives in Japan but then something crazy happens to her, and I really like that, so I would like to read a book like that, please and thank you. That's my pitch.
I love it. That was really fun. That's a cool one. I wonder if those are the books we would write. Do you know
sometimes
what I mean?
I mean, I feel like I am not like creative enough in a fantasy kind of way to come up with a story like like I feel like that's just beyond me, and I like to read or watch that kind of stuff, but I don't feel like that's what I would write. I feel like if I were to write something, it'd be more contemporary or I think it would just be more normal. I like the weird stuff, but I don't think I could come up with it.
Very interesting.
Yours, however, I think that is what you would write.
Yeah, I think you're right.
All right, do you want to read the last one for us?
Yes. All right, Allison asks the pod. Hi, Ariel and Raylene. Love the podcast. A couple weeks ago, you recommended moon-themed books. I was wondering if you have any sun-themed books. Ooh.
I love this question.
I thought it was going to be easy, and then it was secretly hard.
Tell us about that. What happened? Tell us your journey.
Well, here's my journey. That was a very loud car. Here's my journey, okay? It turns out I have a lot of books that have sun in the title, but I haven't read any of them. Ooh, so this is my problem. I come to the podcast without a book, really, because I have a few, but I haven't read any of them. Whereas with the moon books, I had like three great moon books to recommend that I'd read and liked. That here I'm nothing. I've got nothing. So I wrote down Midnight Sun. I don't know. I've got Clara and the Sun. That's a sun book that only you've read. Then I looked at my shelves and I found the graphic novel you got me, A Map to the Sun by Sloane Leong. Looks really cool, but I haven't read it yet. And then I was like, doesn't this book have a sun on it? No. So I have this Clarice Lispector book, The Hour of the Star. So if we need star recommendations, looking through my shelves, I have found quite a few star books as well. But it turns out I haven't read any books that are either about the sun or say sun. The other one was the Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie one. It was half a yellow sun.
Half a yellow sun.
Yeah. That book exists.
Well, what's interesting about a lot of those too is they have sun in the title, but are they about the sun in any way?
Exactly. Huh. I don't know. I don't think so. I guess Clara and the Sun is sort of, because she's charged by the sun. I don't know.
Yes. So my book is Clara and the Sun is the one I was going to recommend. So I may as well jump in so I can explain why. So yes, this one, because I kind of did the same. Like, I just went on my Goodreads and searched sun and then looked through my books and I was like, I'll give you the sun. No, that's not about the sun at all. And like looking at all these things. And then Clara and the Sun, I zeroed in on that one because that one is very much about, like, the sun is almost like a character in that book. And I think that's kind of what the recommendation is asking for. Because when we did moon books, I did one Q84, which is a book that, like, the moon has so much to do with the plot and, like, why the characters do the things they do. And that is the same with Clara in the Sun. So Clara is a AI. She's a robot. And she sits in the front window of the store that she lives at waiting to be purchased. And she gets charged up by the sun all the time. And all the AI, that's how they're charged. They're all solar powered. And so she looks at the sun every day. And the sun is her friend. Like, she talks about the sun like it's her buddy. Yeah. And so the sun is very much like a present figure in the book throughout the entire thing, and like everything she does revolves around the sun. Like, there's a part when she wants to go on this journey, but she has to get there before the sun goes down, otherwise she, like, it's dark and she's like, oh, without the sun, what am I gonna do? So the sun is, like, obviously it's in the title, so it sounds like it's a big part of the book, and it actually is. So that is the one that I think is the most sun book. I can't think of a single other book where the sun is as present as it is in that book.
I just think it's really funny that we nailed it with the moon, but the moon came up short. I mean, you definitely, Clara and the Sun is a good pick, but it's only one, right? Like, yeah, how is there not more? I find that really interesting.
Yeah, I would be curious to hear if other people have sun recommendations, because I'm sure that there are. Like, there's lots of books that take place in the summertime, and, like, maybe the sun is a figure in those types of books, but I don't know.
Yeah, this is kind of stupid, but when I was desperately searching all of the books that have ever existed on this planet, this book kept coming up called Chasing the Sun, which... Speaking of Hilary Duff, once again, I love Hilary Duff. Who are we kidding? Hilary Duff has an incredible song called Chasing the Sun that I can't believe exists as a song. Anyway, everyone go listen to it. Anyhow, Chasing the Sun by Linda Geddes is a book I've never heard of. I don't know anything about it. But it has a 3.97 rating on Goodreads, so people are liking it. It's a nonfiction book, and it seems very short, 250 pages, all about the sun's impact on humans.
See, that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what we want to recommend.
Exactly. So I was like, even though I haven't read this one, I do want to bring it up. It talks of, like, it says, our biology is set up to work in partnership with the sun, from our sleep cycles to our immune systems, our mental health, all of these different things. So it seems to be a nonfiction book about how the sun impacts us and our bodies and our lives. And I just, this person says, I love this book. Anyone who struggles with seasonal depression like me can gain valuable insight from what this book has to offer. While some of the ways to overcome winter are not likely to be implemented because of societal pressure, what does she mean? and duty, it is nevertheless eye-opening to be aware of how our biology reacts with the sun. I'm moving to Hawaii.
Wow, look at that.
This seemed like the kind of book that I would listen to as an audiobook, Chasing the Sun, and just kind of like spend a couple hours learning about the sun and being like, okay, yeah, I should actually go outside more. There you go. I wanted to mention that one. I haven't read it though, so maybe it's
sounds
terrible.
Very solid. You did great. I think Midnight Sun though was your top recommendation of all the ones you said, which has, some might argue, nothing to do with the sun at all. He can't go in the sun. Therefore, it's all about the sun, really. Oh, that's funny. Geez. Well, that was a lot of fun. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. Thanks so much for everyone who sent in recommendation requests. Just a little reminder, you can hop over to our website, booksunboundpodcast.com. There is a nice little button on there where you can submit your own recommendation requests. And yeah, give us your heart's deepest desires, what you want to read, and maybe we'll be able to answer it for you. I don't know. It's pretty cool. So yes, we are going to go record our bonus mini podcast, Books Unbucket, which is over on our Patreon. And today's question came from our Discord and was asked by Katie, who says, if something happened and the world moved into a dystopian-esque society, what literary characters would you like with you to survive and thrive in this new world? I love that. An idea just popped into my head. I'm so excited to talk about it. So yes, we're going to go record that. If you want to become a patron, you can go to patreon.com/booksunbound and check it out there. We've got lots of awesome content, including Books Unbucket. Thank you and good night. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye.